Morning. I am substituting this morning, so bear with me for Megan. For this morning's scripture reading, which is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord.
Before we continue, I invite you to pray with me and let's ask for God's blessing upon his message for us this morning. Lord our God, today my prayer is that we will be able to see, that we will be able to see with the eyes of faith. May you open your word for us. May you open our eyes. May you open our hearts to receive. That's what we ask you today, God, through your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many stations, TV stations, have what they call eyewitness news. But eyewitness news can be problematic. I mean, is eyewitness news trustworthy? Can we believe everything we see? Last Sunday, we celebrated Easter, and we shared in the joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he came back from the dead. And one of the main reasons that Christians believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead is because of eyewitness testimony. Without the eyewitness testimony of those who saw him alive after the crucifixion and said so, it will be hard to make a case for the resurrection. Like in Acts chapter 10, where the apostle Peter addressed Gentiles gathered in the home of a centurion named Cornelius. And Peter, referring to himself and some fellow believers with him, said, "And we, apostles, are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem." He says, "We witnessed his ministry. We saw what Jesus did." And he says, "And we are those witnesses who ate and drink with him after he was raised from the dead." And this is one of at least 10 references in the book of Acts to eyewitnesses affirming the resurrection of Jesus. And there are several verses in other places in the New Testament that mention it as well. This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians. "After that, Jesus was seen by more than 500 of the believers at the same time. Most of them are still living today, but some have died. So he says Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. So we're talking about eyewitness testimony. But wait, eyewitness testimony. In court cases in our time and the reversal of criminal convictions, eyewitness testimony has actually often been a problem. And it's been a huge problem. Let me give you an example. Kirk Bloodsworth was convicted of rape and murder of a 9-year-old girl in 1984. He was then sentenced to the gas chamber. And his conviction was based largely on the testimony of 5 eyewitnesses. But after he served 9 years in prison, DNA testing proved him to be innocent. As a matter of fact, since the 1990s, when DNA testing was first introduced, 73% of the 239 convictions overturned through DNA testing were based on eyewitness testimony. So 1/3 of these cases that were overturned by DNA rested on the testimony of 2 or more mistaken eyewitnesses. And there's also research that shows that 75% of false convictions are caused by an inaccurate eyewitness statement. They attribute this to factors such as memory decay, poor eyesight, induced stress, and also something known as eyewitness talk. This is when witnesses discuss what they saw with each other after the event. And then they change their minds about what they thought they saw based on the statement of another witness. They have found that 86% of real eyewitnesses claimed to have discussed the event with other witnesses prior to giving testimony. And so researchers say that talking among eyewitnesses can result in the process called co-witness conformity. This is when eyewitnesses are influenced into including in their statements things they didn't actually see. So in today's reading, we have the story of the resurrected Jesus appearing to his disciples. And he's standing there with them. And he shows them wounds in his hands and his side, and Jesus blesses them with his peace. And he gives them the Holy Spirit. And it says they were filled with joy. But Thomas was not present. It says in verse 24, although Thomas the twin was one of the 12 disciples, he wasn't with the others when Jesus appeared to them. So they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "First, I must see the nail scars in his hands and touch them with my finger. I must put my hand where the spear went into his side. I won't believe unless I do this." Thomas shows up later and his colleagues tell him what they've seen, but Thomas is not convinced. He's hearing eyewitness talk from no fewer than 10 of his friends. Close colleagues, by the way, who have spent a lot of time with Jesus and certainly shouldn't have any problem identifying him. But Thomas is nobody's fool. And he says, "I don't think so. People don't get up and walk around after they're dead and buried. I don't care about the eyewitness testimony, the fact that you're all saying the exact same thing, that you're all claiming that Jesus is alive. It's just not enough for me." I want to pause there quickly and just ask you this. When 10 people tell you the same thing, 10 eyewitnesses that tell you that they saw the exact same thing, will you believe them? If they all say, "We saw a UFO," do you believe them? That's a good question. Andy was asking not if they've been drinking, she said, but what if some, you know, if they say to you, we saw King Charles of England eating breakfast in the Parkway Diner. Would you believe that? No? Yes. What if they say we talk to someone who's pronounced dead? He's actually alive. Would you believe the eyewitness testimony or not? So then it says in verse 26, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. And the doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. So stop doubting and believe. Don't be suspicious. Have faith. So what does Thomas do this time? What is his response? He exclaims, my Lord and my God. He says, Jesus, it's you. And you are my Lord and you are my God. And then Jesus told him, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. It's like he's saying, you should have believed the eyewitness testimony, Thomas. It's the people who have faith in me without seeing me. They are the ones who are really, really blessed. And yet I can understand where Thomas was coming from. I think his reservations before he saw Jesus for himself were completely understandable. And in terms of today's forensic and legal processes, you could say that it's not only understandable, but necessary. And Jesus must have known that. You see, we often say seeing is believing. Jesus seems to want it the other way around. And what he's saying is, believing is seeing. And that's how it has to be for the rest of us who follow Jesus, don't you think? Although the New Testament does speak of eyewitnesses, our conviction that Jesus is a living Lord doesn't start there. It starts where? It starts in faith. And what Jesus seems to do here with Thomas is that he pronounces a special blessing on those who believe without the eyewitness testimony. He says, you're blessed when you believe without seeing me. If you need to have evidence, fine, but you're really blessed if you can believe without it. Because you see, in our world, we want evidence and we want testimony and we want proof. What Jesus is saying is, that's not the currency in the kingdom of God. What we need for our spiritual lives is faith. And that is what is required. It is what Hebrews 11:1 talks about. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. To know something is real even if we don't see it. Proof of what we cannot see. What we need is faith. C.S. Lewis once said that he believed in Christianity just like he believed in the sun. Not only because I see it, he said, but because by it, I see everything else. Brandon Ambrosino, a theologian teaching at Villanova University, wrote this. He said, "That's how I see Jesus' resurrection. Not so much as an event I look at, as an event I look through. For me, it remains the interpretive key to the entire universe. And though it might seem improbable and primitive, we're all aware that the idea is writ large across both our imaginations and even the cosmos. Each morning, the sun is reborn. Each spring, harvests come back to life. After each disappointment, our dashed hopes are reanimated and soar to even newer heights. For all the death and evil and greed and ugliness of our world, I can't shake the fact that every last atom of this place is pulsing in time with the rhythm of resurrection." So as we come together today in worship on this Sunday after Easter, are we here to look for more evidence to confirm that the resurrection of Jesus happened? Or are we here because we have faith? Because we believe? And we're here to celebrate how faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ helps us interpret the world. And how our faith in a resurrected Christ helps us to see the world. And our faith in Jesus makes us see life and our lives and God's creation, and how the resurrection helps us to receive our daily hope and our long-term optimism. I want to show you a short clip, video clip from a movie that came out in 2006 called Bella.
I'm about this knife, bro. Sorry, I don't have any cash on me. Okay. Today's a beautiful day, right? Yes. Describe it to me.
This piece of art is yours.
Okay. There's some yellow flowers
blooming on it.
Cynthia. Yeah. Some purple ones too.
I see.
You really like flowers, huh?
Oh yeah. What's going on across the street?
It's just an ordinary day in New York City, you know? People rushing back and forth, cars driving, everybody's got somewhere to go, somewhere to be. Nobody really cares about nothing. Like a human living clock. Never stops.
Whoa, I wish I could see that.
God closed my eyes, now I can see. Seeing is not always believing, but believing is seeing in a whole new way. Amen. Merciful God, thank you for your word, thank you for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift. And of course, it's a gift, the gift of faith. The gift of believing in you and your Son Jesus. May we all understand today that seeing is not necessarily believing, but believing is seeing you and your Son Jesus and the whole world in a completely different way. May that be what your Spirit enable us to do. We pray this in the name of the risen Jesus. Amen.